Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" What does that mean? All the city was moved.
Yeah, that's kind of hit me too.
The gossip started.
Oh, thank you.
The city was abuzz.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is Naomi.
She's with them?
Yeah. Where's her husband at? Where are her sons at? Why has she only got the one son's wife? Oh my gosh. And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So the whole town is a-gossiping, which you're not supposed to do, but... And she basically tells them the entire story. And Naomi is feeling very broken. Thinks God has it out for her. You know, they're obviously paying for sins. You know, she didn't have any problem with her sons taking Moabitess women. You know, that's the family's responsibility, not the sons and the family's responsibility. You pay for your sins. But she is on a mission from God, her and Ruth. They don't even realize it. Chapter 2. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz.
Oh, Boaz.
And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, one of the columns that Solomon erects at the temple he calls Boaz.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, "Let me go now to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." She said, "Go unto her. Go, my daughter." We have a close relative. He's a wealthy man. Let me go glean in his fields. Maybe he'll notice me. Maybe he'll have charity on us. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was so light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. She happened, that's her hap, was to light. That means she happened to land on her relative's field, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Ruth was a looker. Got all these people out there gleaning. Who is that one? Typical man, huh?
Uh-huh. And she's wearing an earring of our Lord.
Yeah. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, as she tarried a little in the house. After she's been here all day, she just rested a little bit. And said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidservants." He says, "Darling, you stay on my fields, okay?" He didn't say, "I'm going to take care of you," but he's just, there was some insinuation there.
Mm-hmm.
"Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee?" Wow, he put out orders immediately. That one's off limits, fellas. "When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto the people which thou knowest not hitherto. How did he know all that?
That's weird. That just totally gave me the whole idealism to this download that he got suddenly.
Or was it the entire city
Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Was gossiping about Naomi and her daughter-in-law coming back.
There you go. And then he went out and he's like, that's got to be her.
The majority of the gossip takes place at the city gate. He's one of the city elders.
Yeah.
He sits at the gate every day.
Gotcha. Hey. So it came to my attention.
He basically said, I know all about you. I hadn't seen you, but wow.
Yeah.
You're a good looker. But I know everything. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He's basically saying, I even know that you want to worship the Almighty God. And plus, he's seen she's a very hard worker. She's just an absolute beautiful person in all ways. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. Thou, I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. I am a foreigner. Thank you so much for being kind to me. Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. She sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and leapt, even invited her to have dinner with them. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. Yeah. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. If she's following along behind you, just drop some handfuls on the ground.
Or even a sheep.
Yeah. Make it easy. Make it easy for her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out all that she had gleaned, and it was about an epeth of barley. It's like one little over a bushel. That's a lot. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she might reserve after she was sufficed. And the mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be that did take knowledge of thee. Where were you gleaning at today? And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name of whom I wrought today is Boaz. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be the of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. So Naomi's heart leapt right there, because, wait a minute, God is starting to bless me a little bit. Daughter-in-law, you have found the field of our rich uncle. How in the world? Thank you, God. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. You do exactly as this man says. I don't care if you see bushels of barley in the other fields just on the ground. You stay right here. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So a couple of months is going to go by here. Chapter 3, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7, God's amazing manuscript of truth, the guidepost to eternity. You know, this is a temporary life that you're living now. I know it feels real. I know it feels like it's the only one you're going to get, but no, it's not. You have a spirit man inside of you, that will continue after this body dies. And where you end up is how you guide this life. It's a testing ground to see if you're worthy of eternal life or damnation. Nothing in between. Oh, can I just fall right in the between there and just kind of be? No. You say if you're sitting on the fence, you're either for me or you're against me. Chapter 3, Book of Ruth. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor." Ah, okay. So, you know what? All that barley you guys picked up, they're processing it tonight. "Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor." Get yourself looking good, girl. Smelling good, looking good, and get down there. "But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." Let him get a little wine in him, and then show yourself. "And it shall be, when the lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." So wait till he lies down and go lie at his feet. He likes you. All that you've told me, the man likes you. "And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me I will do. She went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry," that's a key phrase in this Bible. That means he had some alcohol and he's happy. "Oh, drinking's a sin." No, this Bible never said that. The Bible said being a drunk is being a fool. Okay? I'm not condoning alcohol. It's okay for some Christians that can deal with it and handle it. It's not okay for others that can't handle it. And if you're following God with all your heart, you'll know the difference. And you'll know which one, if he allows it in your life or if he disallows it in your life. Oh, well, God's all the same for everybody. No, he's not. He gives great liberty to those who follow him with all their heart and have strength through Jesus Christ. He gives very little liberty to those who are barely clinging on to the salvation of Christ because they choose to have a separated heart, living in the world and trying their hardest to follow Christ. Maybe not their hardest, just wanting to follow Christ. Remember, the law came to take your liberty away. God originally gave Abraham absolute liberty. "Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children." The law took it all away. You could be sinful by accident. Unknowingly be sinful. Touch a doorknob an unclean person had touched, and you're sinful. Believe it or not, it's here in black and white. Sit on a couch where an unclean person had sat. Now you're sinful. "Oh, that's not fair." It's not fair because we gave up our liberty because we refused to follow God with all of our heart. Jesus Christ came back and reset things. The law no longer applies if you follow Christ with all your heart. "And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet." Now, he wasn't scared. That basically means somebody's at my feet. He's startled all of a sudden. You know, what's going on here?
Wait a minute.
"And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." What in the world did she just ask him? She said, "Will you marry me?" Believe it or not. That's quite bold, is it not?
Yeah, for a woman of the time?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
The lineage of a Hebrew was stitched into the hem of their garments. She's basically saying, "Make me a part of your family, because you are a near kinsman."
Another showing of
yes.
the masculine versus feminine, like the switch is going on.
Yes.
You know, the subtle switch is going, well, not really subtle.
And also the fact that her husband had no brother to marry her.
Right.
It was up to the nearest kinsman if he wanted to take her for a wife. You are a near kinsman. Please make me a part of your family. Will you please marry me, sir? How in the world do you get that, Pastor Dave? That's what it means. When you study this book, you will understand things. You got to read and read and read. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor nor rich. You are so sweet. You're so beautiful. You're so kind. I'm an old guy, and you want me instead of the young guys. You are amazing.
Whether they have money or not.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
You know how rare that would be these days?
This guy's heart and ego have been pumped up to an unbelievable level. This beautiful young thing has just basically said, I want to be with you. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Yeah. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. So all the gossip that was rambling around, there was nothing bad said about Ruth. Mm-hmm. Probably plenty bad said about Naomi. Oh, what is, she must have had horrible sin. Her husband died, and both of her sons died. What in the world has she been doing? And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. And it fell to the nearest kinsman if he wanted to take her for a wife. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. He doesn't even wait. Hmm. As soon as it's daylight, and the city gate opens, and that's when the fathers of the city would come, I'm going there as soon as the gate opens. I'm going to talk to this other near kinsman, and if he'll do it, I'm praying he doesn't. If he does it, then I have no choice, and you'll be with him. But if he doesn't, I will do what you ask. I will take you for my wife. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. Rose up while it was still dark, and he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. This is a gossiping town.
Mm-hmm.
She got up and left before daylight. She did not want to bring any accusations against him. Oh, I know why you want to marry her. We seen her going in and sleeping with you last night.
Yeah, she walked out about 7 this morning.
Yeah. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. When she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. Basically giving Naomi a little dowry there. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? She told her all that the man had done to her. Who art thou, my daughter? How did it go? Are you getting married?
Right. Is your last name changing?
Yeah. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until we have finished the thing this day. He will do it this day. That man is enamored with you.
You put the whammy on him.
Chapter 4, Book of Ruth. Between the lines, understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan. Having a little fun in Ruth today. It's okay to have fun with the Bible. God is the God of love and joy. Don't feel like you have to put a tuxedo on and be very stately when you read it. This is God's word. It's the story of all of us. The guidepost to how to live your life. To be obedient to God. The only sin in this Bible, disobedience. Don't do it. By any other name, don't do it. Chapter 4, Book of Ruth. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there, and behold, the kinsmen of whom Boaz spake came by. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. You know, don't forget, this is orchestrated by God. This is a mission because he is establishing the line of the Messiah right now. Everything in this book has God's handiwork on it. It's crafted and molded and steered in exactly the right direction, because right now Satan is attempting to pollute every Hebrew line. The Adamic line has to be polluted. Remember, back before the flood, there was one line that was not. The Bible says Noah, his line was perfect. Mm-hmm. And God crafts this one line, because I guarantee you, I don't know for certain, but I guarantee the line that Messiah came out of was the only one left that had not been polluted by the seed of the serpent. Had all of them been polluted, the Messiah could not have been brought forth. And I think we would have ended in another flood or some sort of devastation, and God might have started again. But God is crafting the line of Messiah right now. Unto whom he said, ho, such a one. Hey, come here.
Wait a minute, buddy.
Come here, John.
Yeah, we need to talk.
Turn aside and sit down here. Who, me? You never talk to me. And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. Oh, wow, something big going on.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling in the jury here.
He called in a whole minion.
He's probably racking his brain. What did I do? What did they know about that?
Is this a trial?
He starts talking about Ruth. The guy goes, oh, yeah. Okay. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. So this is the property that would have been the property of the sons of the daughter, or the son of Ruth's daughter, of Ruth, the husband of Ruth. And whoever buys the field gets the woman too.
Right.
Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. So, the guy's thinking, I could probably get that field cheap.
Yeah.
But you also must take the wife.
About that. Got a lot going on.
I got 14 of them already. Man, it's getting crowded.
Yep.
And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot do it. So he forfeits. Now, I can't do it. Now, this was the manner in former time of Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing or transferring a title. It was so simple back then. Mm-hmm. Now it takes lawyers and paperwork and stamps and fees for to conform all things. A man plucked off his shoe, gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel, providing they had the witnesses there. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We're going to do it here. Take my shoe.
Right.
Hopefully it wasn't a really smelly shoe.
He wasn't plowing or working the field that day. Oh, he wasn't yet.
Yeah, no. This is the rich guy. He just watched. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilon's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. See, he's going to raise up a son with the dead husband's name. This other guy refused to do that because that would take away from the current children that he had during the inheritance time. Boaz didn't care. Maybe he didn't have any other children, or we don't know exactly what his situation was, but maybe he wanted her that bad, but he didn't care. He said, I will raise up kindred to this man. And all the people that were in the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. Do thou worthily in Arathah and to be famous in Bethlehem. Go ahead, do what you've said you're going to do, and may it go well with you, and may these children be raised up and blessed. Let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. This is the line of Christ here. We're talking about the line of David that's being formed. And a nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. So Naomi is praising her daughter-in-law as the best thing that ever happened to me. I thought I was cursed of God, but all of a sudden blessings are pouring in like crazy. What I told you, sometimes it looks bad. You're going through tribulation and you're paying for sins. Like America, there's prophecy in this book about America. God set America aside to preach the gospel to the entire world, and we did that. Free from the entanglements of Europe, free from the bloody soil of Europe. Because the Bible says when there's that much blood, there is darkness and there's evil. Brought us here in this brand new place, set apart, so we could grow as a Christian nation, to spread the gospel to the entire world, and we did that. And there's another prophecy. It says we have one last thing to do for God, that is to protect the nation of Israel during a major end time battle. And after that, God says, your judgment will come because of the transgressions and disobedience you have given to me, America. Then Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Ammabad. Aminabad beget Nashon, and Nashon beget Salmon. Salmon beget Boaz, and Boaz beget Obed. And Obed beget Jesse, and Jesse beget David. The line of Christ has been established. Now God just has to get it to when the Messiah will be born without it being polluted, and Satan will do everything in his power to pollute this line. The book of Ruth is a beautiful story of how God takes outsiders and brings them into the family for a divine purpose.
Makes it work out.
Makes it work out. God never excluded anyone. He doesn't exclude anyone now. There's nothing that you've done can separate you from the love of God and the salvation through Jesus Christ. You just have to do what the Bible says. Give God your heart. He wants your heart. Follow me with all your heart. It's been good to be here with you today on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.